It's time for Motherlode Views, a look at the issues important to the quality of life in the Motherlode. Motherlode Views is brought to you by Nate's Tree Service. No job is too big or too small. Call 532-2460.
Well, we welcome you to Motherlode Views. I'm BJ Hansen, your host. We're pleased to be joined on the telephone today by District 9 Republican Assemblyman Heath Flora, whose district covers communities like Copperopolis, Oakdale, LaGrange, Lodi, and several surrounding Valley communities. Assemblyman Flora, it's great to have you back on Motherlode Views.
I really appreciate the invite. I look forward to it. So thank you again.
Yeah, so for anyone who's unfamiliar with you, tell us a little bit about your background and how you got into politics.
Oh, absolutely. So born and raised in California on the west side of Stanislaus County in the Wood Colony area. My family's been in agriculture, primarily almond industry, since the 70s. We came from in the 20s from North Dakota into Stanislaus County. I really had no desire a decade ago or so to be into politics, but a dear friend of mine, Anthony Canella, decided that I'd be a good candidate. And there was about four Republicans and two Democrats at the time, and that was in 2015 when we decided to run. And so 9 years later, here we are, and it's been an awesome experience, some frustrations along the way, but it's been a real honor to serve our community. You know, coming from the fire service, which I was a volunteer firefighter for a long time and worked with Cal Fire, and it was awesome, which I like Motherlode. And I worked out at Calaveras County, worked out San Andreas and Valley Springs for a number of summers, so very familiar with that area. It's just been a lot of fun representing our community in a slightly different way. So it's been a very, very, just been a great privilege, quite frankly.
Yeah, it segues perfectly into the first question I wanted to ask you about is in regards to your background being a firefighter. You know, what is your reaction to recently witnessing the wildfires that tore through Los Angeles?
It's devastating, you know, and I think from, you know, the first campaign fire that I went on was a Cedar Fire in 2002 down south. In the El Cajon area. And, you know, we had a vegetation management problem then, and we knew it. And then, you know, 20 plus years later, LA burns. And for those of us that have hiked these mountains, have fought these fires, whether you're a volunteer or you work for Cal Fire, you're a paid, you know, firefighter somewhere else, we've been saying this for 20 years that we have a problem. And those words have been falling on deaf ears. I've been, you know, up until this year, the vice chair of natural resources for a very long time. And we gave it up to a colleague who I think is going to be great as well. I'm still on the committee. But for years, everything that would actually infect, you know, vegetation management would die in that committee. And it was very, very frustrating for me to hear some of just the flat-out lies that opposition would say from the environmental justice community. And we just have continued to have overgrowth. And I mean, I know many of your listeners know that there's three things that sustain fire. It's oxygen, it's fuel, and the ignition source, right? And the only thing that we can control as a state is that ignition. Is that fuel source. And so I think it's very, very important that we address vegetation management, that we actually allow Cal Fire and our local government agencies, the private sector, to go in and thin these things out. Because if we don't, we're going to have career fires every year, and it's not going to change.
When you said, like, in those committee hearings when legislation was come up and you'd hear lies from different people, can you elaborate a little bit on that, like the types of things that upset you that you heard?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, there's a group, Center for Biological Diversity, I think, is the name of the organization. And for 2 years in a row, they would testify in opposition. Senator Brian Dawley had a bill last year to deal with vegetation management. And they literally testify in committee that there's no scientific data that supports a reduction of fuel decreases fire behavior or spread. And Isaac Bryant is the chair of the committee, who I think is actually a good chair of the committee. Was like, I felt like, and I was the vice chair at the time. I was like, I feel like my vice chair will have a difference of opinion on that. And like, sir, I absolutely do. Like, have you never taken a log off a fire? And what happened when you take fuel, it goes out, or you add a log on a fire and it builds, right? It's the same concept. And so when they testify in committee and my colleagues, you know, who come from the urban areas, listen to this and they believe it, it's an absolutely like negative thing. And that's what's so sad. You know, when LA burnt, you know, a lot of our, I mean, let's face it, the majority of the votes come from, you know, the Bay Area and LA. because, you know, we all represent 500,000 people, and that's where the votes come from. That's where the most of the members reside from. Well, now L.A. is burnt, and now we have an opportunity for my L.A. colleagues and the Bay Area colleagues to live a life experience that we've been talking about for 10 years. You know, from Brian Dawley, you know, to Sarah Dawley, to, you know, my leader, James Gallagher. We've been screaming this, and it's been falling on deaf ears. So now we have an opportunity to try to fix this because, sadly, our L.A. colleagues have lived a life experience that we've been talking about for a very long time.
So reducing the vegetation, what are the types of things that you'd like to see done specifically?
You know, Cal Fire has programs. If you look on their website, they did about 106,000 acres. So in SB 901, we were supposed to do 500,000 acres a year of vegetation management. Last year, we did 132,000 acres, roughly. About 106,000 acres of mechanical thinning, which is expensive, and about 32,000 acres, so it's about 140 actually, but about 32,000 acres of controlled burns. And we have to increase that. You know, when it comes to CEQA exemptions, it's hard to get that done. And then the California Air Resources Board, ARB, they can block things at any point. And when I was a firefighter with Cal Fire, I was just outside of Consumas, and we spent, you know, a couple of weeks prepping a piece of property to do a controlled burn. We had drip torch lit, called in for the final approval, and we got denied, shut down because of the air board. And so we have to, like, reduce the bureaucratic control of some of these things and really allow the men and women who know how to reduce this, who know how to protect our communities, allow them to do their jobs.
You know, being a firefighter with that background, when the fires were playing out, was there anything else that you observed that you wish would have been differently when it comes to response to that fire or those fires?
I mean, there's, you know, hindsight is always 20/20, right? You know, where the fire started in L.A. Was in a state park within the city limits. There were resources that were not deployed early enough because right now, if a park is within the city limits, that local jurisdiction has control of that. And so if they have a vegetation fire and they launch aircraft or whatever it may be, they're on the hook for that bill. We need to fix some of that, I think. And obviously, you know, when you have 60, 70, 80 mile an hour winds and you have fire on a slope, you're not going to put men and women in front of that. Aircraft can't fly. Mother Nature is going to do what it has to do. And once it gets to that point, there was no stopping that fire. You know, Leader Gallagher and myself went down with an old chief of mine from Cal Fire and toured it. And it's devastating to see, you know, when the fire comes up those hills and you have ember spotting, you know, 2 miles in front of you, and it's just basically blow scorched through the Palisades. Like, it doesn't matter, like, what water supply system you have, what aircraft you have, you're not going to be able to stop that. So I'm very careful on, like, condemning anything, because I think our firefighters did the best they could with the circumstances that they had.
How about fire insurance? That was something that was already spiking before this, the recent wildfires. From a state perspective, what would you like to see happen to help with the fire insurance crisis right now?
You know, it's funny that we're doing this now because a few minutes ago I got off another interview about fire insurance, right, and just insurance in general. We have a crisis. Myself and Assemblymember Greg Wallace are offering a bill that would allow, you know, California taxpayers to write off their premium increases for the next 5 years. The sad part of all of this is for the last 30 years, the insurance commissioners have artificially suppressed the insurance market in the state of California because nobody wanted to be the guy that allowed rates to go up. And what they've done is created an absolute disaster within the industry. And there is no really getting out of it until we create a robust market again in the state and allow the free market to take over. But that's going to take time. And so our hope is to try to give our constituents some sort of relief that if your premiums do go up, that you can write that off of your taxes. So I think, you know, it's going to be rough. I mean, it's absolutely unfortunate to say it, but the cold hard truth is rates are going to go up. They are. And, you know, whatever I can do to help our constituents like navigate that is where my heart is at.
Going to take a quick break there. We're talking with Assemblyman Heath Flora on this weekend's Motherload Views. Motherload Views is brought to you by Nate's Tree Service, where no job is too big or too small. Our second segment is coming up in just a minute.
Nate's Tree Service does more than trim trees. Nate's will remove tree hazards, clean storm damage, provide CDF fire clearance, eliminate beetle infestation, chip brush, and so much more. Nate's Tree Service is licensed, bonded, and insured. They even carry workers' comp for their employees for your protection. No job is too big or too small in the Tri-County area for family-owned and operated Nate's Tree Service. Call 532-2460. That's 532-2460.
We welcome you back to Motherload Views. I'm BJ Hansen, your host. We're talking with District 9 Assemblyman Heath Flora, a Republican, on this weekend's Motherload Views. Assemblyman Flora, as we ended the first segment, we're talking about fire insurance and the rising costs and concerns on the horizon. Do you think this is going to become a bipartisan issue in the months ahead?
I do. I really do. And I think our insurance commissioner is ultimately going to do what he needs to do. You know, it's unfortunate that we are where we're at. It didn't need to get here. It took 30 years to create this crisis, and it's not going to be fixed overnight. But I think there's absolute bipartisan support on, you know, what we need to do to fix it. And from a Republican perspective, it's just like, how do we, you know, give our constituents, our communities, the best tools to mitigate what is going to come, right? And I think from a free market perspective, the more insurance, you know, companies that we can bring into the state of California to create a free market environment to be competitive is what's ultimately needed. And that's where my heart is at. Is like, the quicker we can get the free market to take over, the better off our communities will be. But until then, like I talked about that bill, like, we want to give our constituents the ability to ride off those premium increases off their taxes, to give them the slightest amount of relief. So that's sort of where it's at.
You know, in addition to fire, what would you say are the other issues right now you're really focused on as an assembly member?
We have a healthcare access problem in our communities. And, you know, we're in the process of, you know, we've got some pretty big legislation, and I hope that, you know, we can deal with it, you know, behind closed doors and really not have to run legislation. But doctor anesthesiologists versus nursing anesthetists is a big problem right now. And, you know, last year there was this, you know, a doctor anesthesiologist that came in who was a CDH surveyor. Over 1,000 cases were canceled in 3 days because of a political agenda. And we can't allow that to happen. And so from a healthcare access point of view, you know, a lot of times in Sacramento, people argue about health insurance, right? You know, insurance. And I hear that all the time. But in the reality is, like, a lot of our communities, like, we don't really care what insurance card we have in our pocket if we can't get access to the care that we need. And so that is becoming a huge issue. You know, myself, Senator Suzette Valadares is on this as well. And it's again, it's a very much a bipartisan issue. And I'm excited about that. So we're working through healthcare access as well.
How about the homelessness issue in California? Do you see any solutions on the horizon for that?
Actually spend money where it works. You know, spending $26 billion over the last few years and having a net increase of homeless is an absolute abject failure. Not allowing communities to do what they need. One thing the governor is off left among a few is just like he wants these statewide approaches. And I'm sorry, every community is different. And we need to know, you know, what works in individual communities. So the state spends $26 billion, and we've got no results out of it. We've literally created a homelessness industrial complex. There's so much money that people are making off of this. When a tiny home costs, you know, $300,000, it's ridiculous. So, yes, homelessness is incredibly frustrating. And a lot of it is obviously drugs and mental health. You know, ACLU, the organization, it does not allow us to really put folks in the treatment that they need because heaven forbid we, you know, make somebody do something against their will, even though at times it might be what's best for them. So I really think we need to refocus. I know there's a desire in Sacramento to fix homelessness, but I think the politics of it is stronger, and that is really, really frustrating for me.
How about CEQA? The L.A. is going to have to rebuild shortly. The governor said he wants to see more homes in California. Do you think there will be any movement on CEQA reform?
I do. I really do. It's something that, like, again, I've been on Natural Resources Committee for a very long time, and you know, even on labor. I've been vice chair of labor for a very long time as well. I think there is going to be CEQA reforms. We've done one-offs over the years for stadiums and arenas. I think with the federal administration that's in place now, you know, Newsom sent in, what, a $46 billion request to the feds. I think that's what it was, somewhere right in there. You know, I think there's going to be strings attached to that. And I'm okay with it, quite frankly. I think it's time that we relook at this. You know, I mean, Ronald Reagan started a lot of this. You know, President Reagan, and then it's just been hijacked by the environmental justice community. And so I think we have to get back to the original intent of CEQA and not allow, again, the environmental justice community to just hijack it for their own political agenda. Because until that's fixed, we can't build anything in the state, period, end of story, no matter how much money we have.
Yeah, what type of role do you foresee the state having with the Trump administration over these next 4 years? Of course, Governor Newsom and President Trump kind of have a little history. What do you think is going to unfold here?
Oh, I think those two actually like each other. A number of years ago, I mean, we talked to Governor on some other issues in Trump's first administration, and they talk all the time. And so I actually think that relationship is going to be fine. I think that, you know, they're going to do what they need to do publicly, politically, but behind closed doors, Gavin truly, I think he does, like, though I disagree with him on most issues, he cares. President Trump is not going to leave, in my opinion, you know, California hanging. And so I think that relationship is going to be just fine. And again, like, I'm an eternal optimist. Like, so, you know, I love it. I like that relationship that they have. And I'm cautiously optimistic that it's going to benefit our state.
Do you think Republicans will reach out directly to the Trump administration to work on things as well?
Oh, yeah. We already have, for sure.
Okay.
Yeah. You know, when it comes to water infrastructure and some of those things, you know, my former colleague and a dear friend of mine, you know, Congressman Vince Fong, you know, we've served together for a very long time. You know, he's awesome. We talk a lot. So, yes, a lot of us are working through our congressman. And, yes, we are absolutely engaged on that, which is also why I think the Trump administration is going to be somewhat kind to California. We have a lot of good people. You know, we pay a lot of money in taxes to the federal government. It's around $96 billion a year that we pay as Californians into the federal government. And, you know, by far the largest. So I think it's exciting times right now, and I think we're in a good spot with our congressional delegation.
Assembly District 9 covers a vast agricultural area. You know, what are you keeping an eye on or worried about right now when it comes to ag and water issues?
I think it's more like just the, when it comes to pesticide, you know, the regulatory burden on pesticide usage. You know, we ban a lot of you know, chemicals over the years, but we don't really replace anything. I think that's a huge concern for a lot of folks. And then quite frankly, just, you know, water infrastructure. The voters passed it in 2014, you know, and we've done nothing with it. And so it's high time that we really move forward with that. And I know there's a lot of us leaning very heavily on the Trump administration to make sure that those projects move forward. You know, whether it's sites, reservoir, or Temperance. And really, it's sites that I think is the most viable right now, but Temperance is also. We just have to get this water infrastructure thing squared away. There's absolutely no reason to not do it. And again, it goes back to CEQA. A lot of these projects get jammed up over CEQA. So if we can fix CEQA, actually spend the dollars that the, you know, California taxpayers approved in 2014, then we can move this thing forward. But water infrastructure and then sort of pesticide regulation, and then really, I mean, the overarching just bureaucratic thumb that they constantly put on the California business owner is just mind-numbing to me. When I got elected in 2017, there was only 17 of us that had held private sector jobs. And a lot of our colleagues just have no idea that some of the legislation they push and they pass, what that actually means in real life. And so it's really, really frustrating, but I am hopeful and I'm cautiously optimistic that we're kind of turning the page. You know, a lot of the new Democratic colleagues that just came in, the freshman class this year, I've met all of them, and they seem to be very moderate. They seem like very willing to work with Republicans, and that's very, very encouraging to me.
Need to take one more break. We're talking with Assemblyman Heath Flora, who represents Assembly District 9 on this weekend's Motherlode Views. I'm PJ Hansen, your host. Motherlode Views is brought to you by Nate's Tree Service. No job is too big or too small. We'll have our final segment here in just a minute.
Nate's Tree Service does more than trim trees. Nate's will remove tree hazards, clean storm damage, provide CDF fire clearance, eliminate beetle infestation, chip brush, and so much more. Nate's Tree Service is licensed, bonded, and insured. They even carry workers' comp for their employees for your protection. No job is too big or too small in the Tri-County area for family-owned and operated Nate's Tree Service. Call 532-2460. That's 532-2460.
Welcome back to Motherlode Views. I'm BJ Hansen, your host, talking with California Assembly District 9 Representative Heath Flora on this weekend show. Assemblyman Flora, you mentioned during the last segment about some of the new Democrats coming on board in the legislature. In a couple of weeks, we're going to have your neighbor, Assemblyman David Tongipa, a fellow Republican on Motherlode Views. Have you had a chance yet to talk much with him to see if there are things that you can work together being regional representatives?
Yeah, no, he's a great colleague, and yeah, he's a freshman member, but yeah, I look forward to, you know, working with him for sure.
How about the economy, you know, specifically for your district? Are there things that the state could do to improve it?
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of things that, you know, we could do when it comes to just the economic engine of the state of California. Agriculture is, you know, one of the largest, you know, with tech. And again, the constant regulatory burden and the bureaucracy that like just puts a thumb on the business community is devastating. You know, my family owns businesses in California in the agriculture manufacturing side of things, and from minimum wage to health care, you know, to workers' comp and all of these different issues, right? It's unbelievably expensive to do business in the state of California. And when you only have a few members that have had private sector jobs, yeah, we would all love to give, you know, $30 an hour minimum wage, right? Yes, if money was an option, perfect, great, love it. But the reality is, on top of that, there's about another, you know, $40 worth of expenses. So you have a, you know, a $25 an hour employee, you're actually paying that employee about $60 an hour through everything else. And so when we have these conversations with my colleagues, it's very complicated to get that through to them that it's not just that minimum wage. There's everything else on top of that. So we spend a lot of time trying to educate. And the business community is doing, quite frankly, a better job recently on coming in and doing lobby days to help educate our colleagues on why these issues seem really, really good under the White Dome, but in practicality and execution, how they're incredibly problematic.
Yeah, as you mentioned, California's interesting when it comes to the economy. Agriculture is a big sector, especially in your district, and you mentioned tech as well. You know, what's your thoughts on, like, artificial intelligence and maybe ways it could help the state, and also if it's something that the state should be looking at regulating?
I mean, I think there's a lot of uses for AI, for sure. I am not an expert in that field, and I'm quite frankly not sure. There's many experts in California outside that are elected, and I would like us to kind of slow down a little bit how we regulate that. I think when it comes to, for my personal just interest in AI, is Sheriff Jim Cooper, who was a former colleague who's currently sheriff of Sacramento County. We went on a sex trafficking sting with him last year, and seeing how AI is used to put images out there on, you know, bodies of young individuals, it's unbelievably disgusting to me. And to me, that's where my heart is when it comes to AI, is we need to work with our partners in the tech community, whether it's Facebook, Snapchat, Twitter, you know, any of them, Instagram, and really crack down on this, because there is a disgusting trend out there right now that I think is just absolutely appalling to me. So when I focus on AI, it really is on that particular issue. is we have to give law enforcement the tools to track these people down, and not use our kids' images on bodies for their own perversion. It really does disgust me. And again, we have a great, in my opinion, you know, we haven't really had a lot of public safety committee hearings just yet. But my Democratic colleague, Nick Schultz, who is the chair of public safety, I think we have an opportunity to really crack down on this. So when it comes to AI, that is sort of where I stay focused on, is the public safety aspect of artificial intelligence.
We've got just a few more minutes left on this weekend show. Anything else in regards to legislation that you're planning to introduce this session that you want to share?
You know, I think there's just going to be a lot of interesting bills. You know, we reduced the bill load from 50 to 35 this last year. Weirdly enough, there's more bills introduced this year than there was the year before. So that means next year people will have less bills that they can introduce, which is a good thing. But I think for us in the Republican Party and all of our, you know, members of our caucus, it's really trying to keep a lot of the bad list legislation from passing. And, you know, that goes through relationships and building relationships with our Democratic colleagues, because whether we like it or not, they still have the majority. And, you know, I am one vote. I only have one vote. I need 40 other people to agree with me. There's only 20 Republicans. And so I really do feel firmly on building relationships and trying to make sure bad legislation gets better, and then, you know, partnering up with our Democratic colleagues to kill just the absolute awful legislation. So I'm excited about this year. Again, I think, you know, as a guy who was born and raised in California, the state is worth fighting for. We have not lost it yet, and we're gaining it back. I feel like we've turned that corner as long as our constituents and our communities stay involved. And that's something that I am just imploring to all of the listeners, is be involved. Now more than ever, be involved.
What would you say is kind of the current kind of climate of the California Republican Party? You've been in the minority for quite a while. I mean, what's kind of the atmosphere of the party? Are you pretty optimistic looking forward? Are you concerned looking forward?
No, I'm very optimistic looking forward. You know, since I've been elected up until last year, we've all we've done is lose seats. You know, under Gallagher's leadership, and, you know, I'm his number two, and we work on the elections team together, we were able to bring back all of our colleagues and pick up two seats. You know, Leticia, out of the southern part of the state, was kind of a sleeper. She worked her tail off. She just outworked everybody. She's a well-funded Democrat in her district just by outworking her and getting her message out. Jeff Gonzalez, the same way. So we picked up two seats this year. And our job is to bring all those members back. You know, there's two seats that are Democrat members are termed out, and they're very purple seats, meaning they're like a swing seat. And so my job right now is candidate recruitment and making sure that we have really strong candidates in those seats, and then raise the money to get them elected. So I absolutely feel that the tide is turning. You know, and I don't feel like the Democrat caucus has really understood or come to grips with what happened through the Trump administration, like why Trump won again, right? And as long as Republicans stay focused on issues that Californians care about, we will be okay.
In the Assembly, are the Democratic leaders working with Republicans right now? Is there a two-way street?
Yes, there is.
Okay.
There is. It's obviously they're the majority, but I'm a very conservative Republican. But I also know the world that I, you know, live in politically. And it does not have to be mutually exclusive. You can be a strong opposition party, which we are, as well as being effective.
Well, Assemblyman Flora, we've run out of time on today's Motherload Views. Thanks so much for coming on.
Appreciate it very much. Thank you.
Again, we thank Assemblyman Heath Flora, who represents Assembly District 9 in the California Assembly. I'm BJ Hansen. I was your host. We'll see you back next week for more Motherload Views.
You've been listening to Motherload Views, a look at the issues important to the quality of life in the Motherload. Motherload Views has been brought to you by Nate's Tree Service, where no job is too big or too small. Call 532-2460.